evening and welcome to all. My name is Anzara and I am the host of this program, 1 Hour with Anzara. The views expressed on this program are not intended to diagnose, treat, or give psychiatric advice or replace appropriate intervention. Professional intervention, that is. My goal is to express what I would do if I was in your situation. After much research and many years of experience in personal application, I consult with clients and teach a variety of methods and spiritual modalities to accomplish the living and uplifting of life. There is rarely a time that I recommend a course of action I myself have not used successfully to accomplish my own goals. So, ladies and gentlemen, I bid you very, very good evening. I have some exciting news this week. First of all, Rick Peters has agreed to co-host the show with me starting next week. So it'll be a lot better than just one person talking. And this week, I told last week I had a very special surprise. Well, here it is. This week, I have with me in the studio Dr. Jessica Wirth. And she is a doctor of divinity. She received her doctorate in divinity from the World Christian Ship Ministries on May 6th of 2004. So she's been in the business for a very, very long, long time. She studied many religions for over 28 years. And the very interesting thing is, a good friend of ours gave a 4th of July barbecue and picnic that we were invited to. So we went not realizing that it was going to be such a great red-letter day. And we met Jessica. And we listened and we exchanged many ideas and stories of interest all evening long. And I tell you, by the end of the night, Rick and I both agreed that Jessica would be a most wonderful and interesting guest on our broadcast. Today, when she agreed, we were sitting around talking on many subjects, and especially on the Bible our origins. And I asked her if she would be willing to change the topic we had planned last week, because this was so great. I can't begin to tell you. So luckily, she agreed. Being a professional, a speaker, an evangelist, a teacher, a seminar giver, she agreed right then and there to change the topic. So our topic tonight, ladies and gentlemen, is the Bible and our origins according to scriptures. Sounds really great, doesn't it? Well, it is my great pleasure to introduce to you Dr. Jessica Wirth.
Good evening. It's such an honor to be here with you tonight.
It's an honor to have you.
Thank you. And also, you know, to be broadcast it to so many people that I know are going to be happy to hear the information that we have to share with them.
Definitely. So if this goes all over the world, not just all into the country, but all over the whole world.
It's amazing. You know, and just as we're sitting here, it's like the minute that the phones come on and everything, it's like the energy.
Uh-huh.
It's awesome. It's really strong. This is a very, very powerful message that we're getting ready to deliver to people
tonight. Oh, it is
tonight.
A fantastic message. I'm not going to sit here and talk the whole night. This is Jessica's night. I was impressed, and I know you will be too. So carry on, m'lady.
Well, as we were talking earlier, you know, basically the main thing, where do we come from? You know, what is our origin? That's a question that a lot of us ask. ourselves. We've asked, I guess, you know, we've all asked of the stars, of teachers, of our parents, you know, and this is farther and greater than just the stork.
Or most assuredly, here's to you.
Or the Easter Bunny thing, you know. The components of a human being, you know, how many bodies do we actually own? We figure that we have a physical body and that that is it. But we have an astral body. We have a light body. We have the physical body. We have an emotional body. We have a psychological body. The mind is a body.
Mm-hmm.
And there are so many things that come. And when was that body? And how the creation of each body? You know, we were talking earlier, you know, about how we come to be. Well, how did we come to be? How do you think we came to be?
Well, my beliefs on this, I have some strange beliefs, but they started back in the late 60s, early 70s, when I met through a book, Eric Von Däniken and his book, Chariot of the Gods. And when I read this book, Chariot of the Gods, it was like I had come home. I found answers that something, things I had thought of all of my life.
And Andra, you are so right. You know, there are a lot of the things that we believe seem so far-fetched. But they only seem far-fetched because we have been so trained to believe otherwise.
Yeah.
And it's not what the majority of us believe that it's right simply because most of us believe it. You know, some of us have a very unique view. Like, let's say, for example, you know, when we were talking about Noah and how he had, his generations were perfect.
Oh, this is, guys, listen to this, because this is great.
Undiluted. You go and you read the sixth chapter of Genesis, and you see that they says that God chose him because he was perfect in his generations, in his genes. His genealogy had been uncorrupted. Uncorrupted by what, you may ask?
Yeah.
Ah, but then you have to go back and you have to read the fact that the sons of God were entering into relationship with the daughters of men.
Mm-hmm.
And many people ask, well, what does that mean? What does that mean? What does that mean? What does that mean? Well, that means exactly what it's saying, that there were higher beings, beings of a greater intellectual capacity. Okay? When these, when the DNAs were merged, my belief is that they experienced something similar to the shift that we're experiencing right now.
Uh-huh.
That the Earth began a shift, and with the higher vibrations, these people that whose genes were merged, if you will, or their DNAs were merged, these people automatically were transformed.
That's why there's no missing link.
Exactly. That is why. You know, you see evolution up to a certain point, and then zaz.
Yeah.
As if it were just magically, everybody. But all the people that were not ready for the transformation, not ready or not able to evolve,
mm-hmm.
they were wiped out. They were completely and totally wiped out. That makes you wonder about the people now
mm-hmm.
that are not ready, that are still locked in the old dogmas, in the old beliefs, in the old systems, in the old form of thinking. You know, times change, and we have to change with the times, because if not, that's how we become old.
Yeah.
And that's how we become extinct, because we have to go ahead and progress. Life, time is changing, don't you think?
Oh, majorly, very fast. Especially since the harmonic convergence, because I think the last I had heard, the day is actually 2 minutes shorter than it was before.
And think about it.
Yeah.
At the end of a year, 2 minutes every day. All right,
For 365 days.
Okay, at the end of the year, we'd have to really sit down and do the math and see just how much shorter the year has become.
Yeah.
Which...
Well, you know, let me interject here. I talk to a variety of people, a cross-section of people. And when I was younger, it used to be all the time only the older people said, oh, time is flying by so fast.
Mm-hmm.
Nowadays, children, teenagers, young adults, where's the time going? It's going so fast. It's like one day, and then it's another day, and then it's Christmas, and before you know it, it's Christmas again. Where is the time going?
Well, we're coming into a whole lot more truth,
mm-hmm.
okay? You know, the scriptures talk about the times changing, and if the days would not have been shortened. If the days would not have been shortened, it says, no flesh would survive.
Uh-huh.
Is that not an interesting concept?
That's an interesting concept. Let me interject something here. We have a friend named Christopher Timms. A lot of you out there may have heard of him, or hopefully a lot of you know him. He's a fantastic metaphysician and teacher. And he's in possession of one of the great crystal skulls. But he had talked to a scientist from Monsanto who explained where the alien connection was and actually showed it in a computer photograph of our genes and how they have been interjected. There's this in the center of the matrix of the gene.
Mm-hmm.
There's this interruption here, right in the middle of it, and he showed it scientifically, and it's proven. There it is. There's the answer.
Andra, that to me, in all of my years of study, that to me has been revealed.
Mm-hmm.
I want to use that because that's
mm-hmm.
just a revelation. That to me has been revealed as a dormant part of ourselves. Kind of like, you know, we're born, and then when we start going through puberty, we didn't have all that hair, and we
mm-hmm.
didn't, you know, females don't come in with breasts already. But these are genes that are there that when you reach the right time, these things, ha!
Nowadays, that's true.
You reach an awakening.
Some never used to reach that awakening, but now it is very, very necessary, and that's what scientists call junk DNA, because they don't know what it's for. But to my understanding, that junk DNA is cut off strands, disconnected, if you will, strands of DNA when mankind was getting a little too smart for his creator's plans. Okay, when you talk, and I'm not speaking of God, I'm speaking of the beings that came from other worlds and created us and hybrid us as an experiment. We had enough of their genetics that we were able to do many of the same things that they could do. Well, how can you control a population that can do the same powerful things that you can do? So we were actually disconnected, but nowadays we're being reconnected.
And it's amazing that you should say that we were created, you know, by another being. And you're absolutely right, because and the Bible says this, the thing why we miss it so many times is because we have been told that it says this, and we go to read it, and the mind creates a scotoma, or a blind spot that, you know, you're looking to validate what you heard and not to discover information on our own. But the first part says that God made them male and female, made he them. Mm-hmm. Okay? And then, after it says male and female, made he them, then it says that the female was created separately from Adam. Okay? Was taken out of him, which is that is even greater than what most people understand, because Adam, in by himself, was androgynous.
Oh yeah.
And the, you know, when we are in our perfect state, that is what we are, androgynous. We are all
the perfect balance.
The perfect
the
balance.
The yin yang, male
yes,
female,
of
perfect.
Male and female in one.
Mm-hmm.
Capsule, if you will, in one body, in one physical body. And this was separated. We have been separated.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what a lot of people don't understand. And yet, they're still, female have male hormones.
Mm-hmm.
And likewise with men. And, you know, and you find some men that are a little more softer. They're not so testosterone-driven.
Or testosterone poison.
Whichever the case may be. But yes, there were, man was taken from his original state, okay, the original, the creation of the God, of the supreme being, okay, was androgynous.
Mm-hmm. Quote that again, if you would, please, that scripture, and give it offhand.
It's in the first chapter of Genesis. It's right there during the creation. When I think it goes into the second and even into the third chapter, where it talks about, you know, on the first day God created light,
mm-hmm.
and it says, you know, seeing that light was good, okay? Well, Jesus comes in, and he says, we are the light. So before even a body, a physical, carnal body was created, we were there. And how you can prove that is by reading Proverbs 8. Because,
oh.
Yes, Proverbs 8 says, this is before Jesus was even born, and Jesus says, before the mountains were, I was. No, I am. Before the ocean received its decree, I was there, okay? The only thing that was there before the earth was light, because light was the first creation. You know, light was, at the beginning was the Word.
Mm-hmm.
The power, because before, you know, God or the creative life force, okay, because God is more than just one molecule or one statue or one idea or one of anything, it is God is the creative life force.
Yes.
Where God is, there is always life. There is always energy.
Mm-hmm.
There is always love. There is always light. And most of all, truth abounds.
Yes.
Freedom and liberty abounds. So what I say to people is, if where you are being restricted, and all you hear is no, 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 somewhere something is going on that's not right. Because if you're going to go by scripture, the Bible says that the promises of God are yes and amen.
Mm-hmm.
And what does that mean? Yes, and so be it. So God is in agreement. The spirit, the creative force, that is in the 10th dimension, okay,
mm-hmm.
is always in agreement with the creative force that dwells within every single physical body that has life.
Mm-hmm.
When I say every single physical body that has life, I mean down to a single cell amoeba.
Or even a leaf on a tree. Or
yes.
the grass that grows. And I think they have found life forms in rocks also, silicone-based life forms.
Mm-hmm. Well, the Bible speaks of the life of the rocks.
Mm.
Because it says that, you know, that people that are deaf to the spirit, okay, says that the rocks would cry out before these people do. The rocks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there is life in a rock.
Not our form, not our evolutionary path, but definitely there is some type of life. It is a creation.
Well, I'll give you a perfect example here, Andra. My crystals.
Mm. Oh, please. Crystals are fantastic. They're a life form of their own.
Well, but are we going to take just my word for it? No.
No.
Evidence, scientific evidence tells us that there is energy in rocks. Well, how do we know that? Well, look at, you remember the old watches that we used to wind? They had rubies in them. That's what helped them keep time. And now we have what?
Crystal.
Quartz.
Mm-hmm.
Quartz. It's just as an effective energy
but
conductor.
You can see them grow also. That's the most fascinating thing.
That is one of the main characteristics of life. Once you cease to grow, you might as well be dead.
Yeah.
And a rock grows.
Yeah.
They do. They collect, you know, and they grow. It's fascinating. And that should give us, you know, an incentive to open our hearts, to open our minds, to say, wait a minute, there is more, there is more, there is more, there is more. When I stop and look at a person, I don't just look at their body, their face. I recognize the life force in there. All life is precious, okay? All life. How can we doubt that there is life in other planets? If there is light there, there is life there.
Well, I'll tell you, ever since I was knee-high to a grasshopper, as the expression goes, I could never understand why people wouldn't think there was life on other planets. It just seemed too logical back then. Of course, I was strange. But to me, that was the most logical thing. There was life on other planets. Look how many of them are. Why would anyone think we're the only ones here? Definitely. I don't think any of the listeners on this BBS radio would think that. Well, you never can tell. There was something, though, that we brought up today. We jumped from Genesis to Ezekiel to Revelation. And I want to bring this out. This is an interesting point. We talked about the mark of the beast in the hand and forehead. Jessica, take the floor.
Well, we were talking about that, yeah, and the forehead, you know, in other languages, of course, you know, the Bible was not written in English, and in Aramaic, in Greek, in Hebrew, in all these other languages, basically, you're talking about not the forehead, not that part above your eyes, between your scalp, or where your hairline begins, but the front.
The fore.
The fore of
the
head. The front part of the head. Okay? And that is the part that they're talking about. John did did an excellent job, I believe, having, I believe that John was transported into the future to see. You know, he
must have had a wild trip.
He had definitely a wonderful revelation of the coming times. And, you know, I mean, think about it. Even a calculator 2,000 years ago, what would you call it?
There would be no name for it.
Even if you knew, or even if you heard the word calculator, you put it in a book, what? People still wouldn't know what it was.
No.
So, you know, he did an absolutely awesome job at picking things that resembled things that he could go back and say, hey, you know, it looked kind of like this. And now when we see those images, we're able to decipher and say, well, what he's talking about kind of looks like this, you know, like when he talks about the, what were they, not beetles, but some kind of a bug.
But locust?
The locust, thank you. Yeah. He says...
Oh, you got to tell that one.
The locusts that are not allowed to eat the grass or the leaves. Well, do you know of a locust that eats anything else?
No, not me.
Because locusts, back in those days, and even previous to those, I don't know if you remember with Moses, locusts were one of the plagues.
Exactly.
That ate up all of the grass and all of the, you know, all of the vegetation. And he says that these locusts are not allowed to eat the plants, the grass, or anything. So what kind of locust is that? And then he goes, and they have faces resembling the faces of humans. So what he was watching, what he was viewing, was actually a flying ship, a space, an aircraft of some sort.
Maybe a helicopter.
Very likely.
Because of the whirly bird and the wings that went.
He said that the sound resembled the sound of horses going to battle.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a lot of a big
like
roar.
Like a helicopter roar.
Yes, like a helicopter or an F-16. Have you heard the sound those things
oh,
make?
Oh, yeah.
You know? And so...
They had faces of men and hair like a woman. Now, this I found totally fascinating. Please tell the audience your interpretation of this. It's fascinating. It really makes you think.
Well, in the Bible, the long hair is given to the woman as a place of honor. But also, you know, it's something to do with submission, meaning that there's someone that is senior. So this is to represent that these people are under somebody else's command. They have a captain.
Uh-huh.
They have a captain. The Bible is full of these things. There's a scripture, and I can't...
allegory and symbolization.
I'll give you all the references one of these days, and, you know, we'll definitely do a follow-up on this. But, you know, the Bible talks about man going to the moon.
Yeah.
It
okay.
does. It says, even if you mount it up with wings of eagle and made your nest upon the moon, he says, from thence I will bring you down.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the only reference to extraterrestrials or beings from or visitors from other planets, people who travel without vehicles. Elijah
mm-hmm.
got taken up by the chariot of fire. You know, how else was poor Elijah going to relate, hey, listen, I don't know what happened. You know, this flaming chariot. It was the
and
old...
that was their mode of transport. They didn't have planes or different things, chariots, so that's what they
mm-hmm.
called it. He was saved by a flying chariot of fire.
But this thing, when we examine our modern engines, They're combustible engines.
Mm-hmm.
What does combustible mean?
Ooh, fire.
Fire.
Mm-hmm.
Rocket fuel, one of the most flammable. Jet fuel, flammable. So, you know, the only words, the only image that fits is that something descended and picked them up until it came away. You know, it's been, there's talk in the Bible about holographic projections.
Yeah. Talk about that.
Jesus is praying, and there's a holographic projection of Moses, Elijah, and I think the other one was Enoch, but there was three guys that just appeared out of nowhere, and his disciples recognized them. There's talk in the Bible about things like moving from one place to another without a need of a vehicle. Transportation like this, instantaneous transportation. There is talk about not so much breaking, but bending some of the universal laws that we are accustomed to. Like, take, for example, when Jesus walked on water. You know, our law of gravity and other laws of physics, because of water's substance is not solid, it's liquid, dictates that if we step on it, we sink, and if we don't sink, if we don't swim, we sink.
No, that's the truth.
But Jesus walked on water. So what was it that he had that enabled him to do these things? The only thing that Jesus had that was different than anything of ours now is the understanding that he could master, that he could speak to these things. And that is a whole nother topic in itself. The speaking to things, you know,
manifestation.
Oh my goodness. You know, Jesus said, he says, if you have faith that much, you know, that little bit of
mustard
seed. He says, and you say to that mountain, be thou removed into the ocean, he says, that mountain will move.
That would be a sight, to be out in the west where there's no ocean, no river, nothing, and to command a mountain to move, and everybody says, look at that mountain walking by. What's moving that mountain?
Sheer energy.
Mm-hmm.
Sheer life force. Now, the good news, Andra, is that in Mark 16, the Bible says that greater things than those that Jesus performed, we would be able to do. Isn't that awesome?
Yeah, it really is.
So my question is, believe, he says, if you have faith, okay, we all have a little bit of faith in something. I mean, I have faith that every time I step on my brakes, they're going to stop my car. You know, I have faith that when I get home, my cat and my dog are still going to be there without, you know, hurting each other.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and we all exercise a little bit of faith. But what kind of faith are we talking about here? That's the question.
Yeah.
What must we believe that we can do in order to carry this about? What must we believe?
We must believe we are part. We are a piece of that divine, that our creator, the prime creator, not the creators below that, but the actual original prime creator of everything. We are a piece of that.
The way Jesus put it, they asked him, they said, well, we'll believe after all the wonders that he had performed. Mm-hmm. Okay? After all of the signs, including talking to the wind, to the storm, and, you know, because they says, who is this man that even the winds obey him? I'll tell you who he was. He was just a guy. He was a messenger saying, hey, listen, this is what you're capable of. I'm just here to give you an example. I'm just here to break down the barriers of I cannot and make you able. I have come to show you, not to tell you that you can, but to show you that you can. Because this power was also given to his disciples.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? They were able to do it. So, you know, it's something that anybody and everybody can do. You know, it's time to put away all those taboos, you know, and just
right.
realize, like Jesus, they told Jesus, they said, well, show us the Father then, and we will believe you. What? His reply was, look, you've seen me, you've seen the Father, for the Father and I are one. When we can believe that, when we can believe that the Father, the Creator, the Master,
mm-hmm.
okay, not the servants or the angels or, you know, that they are under his supervision, not those other guys, because there are life forms that are greater than us. And talk about visitors, heavenly bodies, everybody's heard of how Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed, but very few people realized that they were destroyed by two beings that were even that had the capacity to cause blindness.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, there are other people out there that are more evolved than we are.
Oh, definitely.
And they assist. You know, they assist. And our goal should be to lend ourselves and be flexible enough to be part of the new evolution.
Yes.
Because that old mentality that God is something separate than what the life force that dwells within, that no longer is going to work.
That's the old paradigm. It's the new paradigm that's going to help you to ascend in this time, just like the children ascended and left. That's why there's no missing link.
There isn't.
And which brings me to the point also, speaking of things in Revelation that John saw television.
Yes.
Because when the two prophets are killed,
mm-hmm.
that the whole world shall see these things.
In an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And you look at CNN.
Mm-hmm.
CNN, anything that has happened within the hour, you will know about it on
Ladies
CNN.
Ladies and gentlemen, you will see revelations coming to pass on CNN.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So, you know, I encourage people, because I know time is like flying.
Oh, it is flying.
So if I was going to leave, you
know, we still have a few minutes,
but if I was going to leave you with one thought
until next time, either next week or the week after,
my thought would be one, not of telling you what to think, but I would ask you to ask yourself the right question.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Because everything that you and I and whoever needs to know is already within us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Bible teaches that. You know, it says to ask God, you know, for wisdom and knowledge, and he will give it to us without measure. God, the creator, the master of the life force, is not one that requires blind obedience. And I I really, really ask that anybody that has a belief contrary to that not be offended, because that is not my intention.
Well, there is a point I want to bring out on this also, Jessica, that the Bible from the days of Constantine has been changed about every 100 years. I believe that was what Rick had said. It was about every 100 years. Scholars from all over the world get together and they make new translations and things get changed. Parts get left out. Words are changed. So therefore, you have to be a thinking person to be able to understand the Bible. It is not blind obedience.
No.
God did not give you a brain to follow blindly. That's what the evil masters want.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the evil, as we call evil, folks on different evolutionary paths or those that wish to conquer this prime piece of real estate here want us to believe and want us to do is blind obedience. And a church that teaches blind obedience, in my humble opinion, teaches only subjection to
mm-hmm.
man. It is called legalism.
Well, in the Bible, Andra, it is called something worse than that. Okay, in the Bible, it is called quenching the spirit.
Quenching the spirit?
Yes. It is called quenching the spirit. And it says, do not quench the spirit. It says that the Bible says that the only sin that is unpardonable, that has no forgiveness, is the sins against the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Well, what is the sin against the Holy Spirit? When you are not true to the Spirit that is within you. I love, was it Shakespeare that said, to thine own self be true?
Therefore thou canst be false to any man.
Okay. The Bible, the first four commandments deal on that, on being true to the God within yourself, not to bow down to any image or anything that is unreal, anything that is outside of your own self. Because, Andra, as much as I love you and as much as you love me, what's true is what's true for you.
Mm-hmm.
As much as I can share my experience with you, these things only become true to you when you experience them.
Exactly. Every person has a different level of experience in life. Does that mean that those that go to church every Sunday and are fundamentalists in belief are wrong? No. It does not mean that they are wrong at all. They are right to their understanding.
Yes.
And when they are ready for a different understanding, it will be given unto them. And they have the free will to choose it or to remain where they are. They may be very comfortable in a safe comfort zone where all they have to do is follow what their teacher, their pastor, interprets the word to be, and they are happy. They don't. In fact, I used to think all the time, Jessica, and maybe I was in a past life one of them, because I longed for the simplicity where I didn't have to think the thoughts I think, where everything wasn't so expansive and I was so small, is how I felt in the expansion of the universe. And yet these people have such a simple and wonderful, beautiful faith. And they lived and died by this faith. And it's a beautiful thing for them. As our faith is a beautiful thing for us. I don't feel so small anymore,
mm-hmm.
like I used to. before I developed the understanding. But the years that I was involved in fundamentalism, I had to do my time, as I put it. I had to do my time for a purpose.
Yes.
I had to learn to speak that language and learn what they believed, because I didn't know it, but in the future I was going to be in my own ministry and I was going to be working on a psychic phone line and I was going to be talking to some of these very people who had some very serious problems and questions of faith. I had to be able to help them where they were. And I always helped them on their biblical. I didn't ever say the Bible was wrong,
mm-mm,
or this or that, or they were wrong, or their pastor was wrong. And I even spoke with pastors in the middle of the night who had no one to talk to because they couldn't talk to other pastors about their lack of faith.
Mm-hmm.
So now I know why, and I thank God for the 8 years I spent in the fundamental belief, though I never was a fundamentalist.
We all go through growing periods.
Yes.
You know, we all are formed. I love the diamonds, you know, because they're formed by pressure.
Mm.
You know, I love gold.
Diamonds shine in the
light. Gold is refined by fire.
I wonder I'm always
you know,
mm-hmm,
this, you know, we are, well, we have gone through a lot of refinement, you and I, you
that
know,
we have.
Because it takes a lot to be here. It takes a lot, and if you do not retain anything else that we say tonight, please keep this in mind. It takes a lot to be able to stand, even if you stand alone.
Yes.
You know, because that is, if I learned something from Jesus, I learned that. That he was able to stand even when he stood alone. You know, he knew that nobody else would believe the truth that he had to communicate. But he was telling us, hey, you can do this. I've come to set you free. And how are we made free? How are we made anew? He says, by the renewing of our mind. The renewing of our mind.
Mm-hmm.
The renewing of the mind means taking away the old. Old beliefs. Says, behold, all the things are all passed away. Says, all things are made new. So, let's think about all those words that limit us, all those phrases that limit us. And I tell you, most of my learning has come from the Bible, and I ended up metaphysical.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I learned all of my metaphysical stuff from the Bible because it taught me. It says we are more than conquerors. More than conquerors.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Through Christ, who strengthens us. Because he was the example. He was the forerunner. He says, I am the firstborn of many. He's just showing the force, the abilities that lie dormant within us. You know, love, we have said, it's a many splendid thing. You can actually touch somebody with such love and not sympathy, but compassion,
mm-hmm,
that your touch can actually heal that person.
Yes, it can. Yes, it definitely can.
You know, I've had days when I'm just not feeling all that well and things are not going my way. And just somebody smiling at me and say, have a nice day, you know, and they say it so cheerfully, and that energy makes a difference.
Yes, it does.
It's love, it's the power, you know, and he knew what he was, you know, what it was going to cost them to come and set the example.
Oh, but you know, an interesting point. Christ said to the apostles that he had, I think it was a comparison from them to the Gentiles, and he said, I have many sheep that are not of this fold.
Yes.
And I tell people this who sometimes verbally assault me because I am not exactly in my belief, exactly the way they are. And he said, I have many sheep that are not of this fold, not meaning just the Jewish fold, but he had the Gentiles, which included a heck of a lot of pagans.
Yes. Oh, this is for the pagans. This is for everybody.
Yes.
Not just for the people of this planet. You know, this is for everybody. I love that. I love the fact that the Bible teaches. It says God is not a respecter of persons.
Thank God.
It says of persons.
Mm-hmm.
Of persons. It doesn't matter how individual an individual may be. It's of any person. You know? And
you can't be just so special.
Yes, that is, I love that, because it doesn't matter if it's little green men or big green men or blue, or, you know, my husband laughs at me at times because I tell him, I says, I don't care if they're blue, red, yellow, or polka dotted. He goes, do you believe there's polka dotted people out there? I'm like, well, haven't you seen Star Trek? Yeah.
There are even reptilian folks out there that, although they're, in my opinion, their agenda is not in our favor, but they still are created by the same prime creator of the universe. They have the same life force within them, and they have a spirit within them, and they are also loved by prime creator. We have to remember that sometimes.
And the only one,
especially me,
that basically create their own punishment. All people are ethical, you know, and punishment is created by one's own self.
Yes.
Because when you do wrong, when I do wrong, I don't need anybody to tell me I did wrong.
No.
I know it. Now, whether I choose to correct myself, that's totally my choice. You know,
mm-hmm.
The one thing that we have been given is free will. And what type of a free will is it? Well, serve me or die in hell.
Mm.
Not much of a choice.
No.
You know, you get another chance.
Yeah.
You get another chance. You get to try again. I love one of the Psalms, and it's in the hundreds, and I have to go back to so many books, so little time. It says, it repeats itself over and over and over and over. It says, in his grace, in his mercy endures forever. In his mercy endures forever. And at the end of every verse, David says, in his mercy endures forever, and his mercy endures forever, and his mercy endures forever. It doesn't matter if it takes you an eternity to get it right.
Mm-hmm.
After all, after one eternity, there's another. And there's another. And there's another. The thing is, let it not take us an eternity. Let us start now. Renewing our minds.
Yes.
Opening up ourselves to receive, you know, unlimited. I love that Jesus said that he came to give us life and that we should have it
more abundantly. Yes.
Not limited, not sickly, not, you know.
Not poor, not broke.
No.
Not just over broke.
No. But that we should have life and have it more abundantly.
Yes.
You know, because the universe already has everything that we need.
Yes.
Every one of our needs has already been provided for us.
Yes.
All we have to do is open ourselves up to receive. But we have to first get rid of those old beliefs that if I don't work, I don't eat.
Uh-huh.
That's the slave mentality that we have been taught.
Well, unfortunately, it looks that time is approximately fleeing us. And I don't want to be running over. And I'm going to have Jessica back either next week or the week after. And we're going to continue this because I think it is so needed today. There are so many people out there with so much, so many questions. And what I would like to do is next time that you come on, either next week or the week after, I have another guest lined up. But if they cannot do it this coming week, then I'm going to have them switch and have you in their place, etc. But I would like to tell you all to have a very, very wonderful week until we see you again, or talk with you again, rather. And I'd like to tell you and remind you, next week on Thursday, please tune in at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time to hear Dr. Rebecca Carley and her What's Ailing America, and stay tuned for the Cyber Shaman. The Cyber Shaman is a fantastic show following our website here. And my co-host just showed up. Tell them your the website, please. Right now, my mind just went boop.
Well, the website isn't up yet, but the email is, we've still been having problems, is onehourwithanzura@gmail.com. Okay.
Oh, thank you. Because my mind just blanked.
We're still working on the problem.
So anyway, if you have questions or comments or suggestions, we'd appreciate hearing from you. And thanks to all of those so far who have responded by telephone or email. And those of you who we have not responded back to, please have patience because we will get to you. Anyway, stay tuned for the Cyber Shaman and have a wonderful week. God bless you all and thank you.